You know, I want to acknowledge, obviously, the leadership, Dr. Bailey, Pastor Tucker, all my fellow pastors, and appreciate each and every one of them. I also thank each one of the brothers and sisters this morning who are here, that I can be part of what God is doing, and appreciate the fact that God gives second chances, that divine intervention in heaven for me. My heart's overwhelmed with that this morning, that the Lord loves me, loves you, loves us, and he wants us to make it. Amen? He intercedes for us. You know, my heart is so appreciative of the love of God that reaches down beyond all things and lifts us up and does things for us that we don't really deserve, but he loves us and he has an inheritance in us. And because of that, a father's love from heaven can flow from Calvary. A father's love from being head of the fellowship can flow down to each one of us. And we should be appreciative of that. And we should be appreciative of the fact that we really are nothing except God does something for us. And we need to appreciate that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that as we can show love of the Lord shed abroad in our hearts one to another, it could well be, it would be the deciding point whether somebody makes it or whether they don't. And I certainly don't want to be someone who has realized the intervening love, intercession of my Heavenly Father, also my spiritual father, and other brothers and sisters who have known me through the years, who have prayed for me and my wife, family, that I would not do likewise for the other brothers and sisters who I associate with. And I don't want to be held accountable for that. I want to be someone who desires to see that we all are given that opportunity out of love for our Heavenly Father, for his children. Amen. So I was going to share something this morning that I trust my sheep who are from Concord, New Hampshire, will listen again. It's not anything they haven't heard, and some who have heard it here. But the other thing the Lord spoke to me says, you know, you wear hearing aids because you are hard of hearing. He said, a lot of my people this morning are wearing spiritual hearing aids because they're hard of hearing. And they need to hear it more than once. And I said, well, Lord, that settles it for me. I'm all right. Get a little something from the Lord, and then, you know, you're all right. So we want to look this morning at Hebrews chapter 12, and we're just looking at a topic of reducing before producing. You know, a reducing before producing. I say this very openly. We need to understand what God says and why he says it. And I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read the first three verses. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I want to look at three points. One will be concealment. Second one will be attraction. And the third one will be Minna and Maxa. And you say, where did you ever get that? That sounds like a New Hampshire word. But we will elaborate on that, I trust. Minna and Maxa. But we're looking at concealment, attraction, and then we'll look at the third point and trust the Lord to be with us. I want to give an illustration of something that happened. You've heard it, but it's essential that we give this illustration. We were putting up a fence out behind my assistant pastor's house, and in order to do that, there was some extreme large stumps in the area. I mean, they were very, very large, big. And so he decided that he would take that out of the ground. And this tree has probably been there for years upon years, 100 years plus, who knows. But it was extremely large, and he asked one of the students, Stephen Brogan, if he would like to apply his physical strength to help dig around these roots of this tree. It was a maple. No, it was an oak. And so they got the young fellows out there, and they got their axes, and they dug away from the stump, and they went down about 2 or 3 feet, and so they got all the known roots. They were severed, every last one of them. And they were huge coming out of the tree like that. This tree was big. And so they got all these roots severed, and so they decided that they would take this little 4x4 truck with a chain, and they put it around the stump, and they put it in 4-wheel drive, and they yanked on that stump, and it never even quivered. It didn't move. It didn't even twig. It just sat there. So then the process, they had a backhoe, and they were working with that, trying to shake it back and forth and get it up. It would not do it. So, you know, they thought this was going to be an hour job. Well, through the process of trying to remove that stump, we had put a 6-ton winch on it, and we put a chain on another stump, and we were winching it back and forth, and the chain broke. So this was not a little stump. This was big. And, you know, sometimes we take these areas, we look at them with our eyes and say, I am going to take care of that, and I'll show everybody I know how to do it. But, you know, there was something about this stump that the Lord had to speak to me about. So I said to this brother, I said, you know, the Lord told me that in that stump, there are a lot of spirits. I want it out. He said, all right, I understand that. And so they didn't stop because I just didn't want them to come in with one of the shavers, you know, the chain goes sweeps back and forth and reduces it in sawdust. I wanted it out because it was spiritual. So they stayed with it. Well, 4.5 hours later, they were able to nudge that a little bit and nudge it. And, you know, finally, the young people get a little energetic, and they had that little 4-wheel drive truck, you know, taking the slack out of the chain, and whap. And I expected to see that chain in any minute break, but it held, and they finally struggled, and they got this stump out. And lo and behold, as they took this big stump out of the ground, just barely got it out of the hole, I found out what was going on. All of the roots were severed. That's true. But unbeknownst to us, what we couldn't see, which was concealed, were all these little roots, new roots that were growing. And so what had happened when we cut that tree down 5, 6, 7 years ago, that it formed new roots. And these maze, just a maze of roots, they were everywhere. And all it was sand. And the sand was holding these little roots. And that tree was unmovable until there was tremendous force put behind it. The Lord spoke to our hearts about that. And I want to share that little point about concealment. And with that, I have to reveal again to us about the Zion train. You know, for those who haven't heard about the Zion train, I need to bring this together so you can see the comparison. In Zion's train, and the Lord just showed us that there was a train on the way to Zion, and the Lord was ahead, and there's things about it. But what encouraged me one time is that Pastor Bailey said he heard the train and heard the whistle of the train. And he doesn't know how that encourages me because, you know, sometimes we think we hear things and see things, and it's always it's good to check it out with people and understand. Well, in this train, it came to the station. There's other things that apply to it, but it's speaking to about the fellowship and the churches and each and every one of us. But as it came to the platform of the train station, there was a going out and people coming in. And the conductor, which represents the Holy Spirit, was coming through the train and telling us, take these parcels that you have and put these parcels where, you know, you can make room because you have them over 2 or 3 seats. Please take these parcels and condense them so people that are coming on the train can do that. And we have a tendency sometimes when we're traveling to take what is precious to us and we hand carry that. And the rest we just put in luggage and let them do with it. Because you know, anybody who's traveled, they throw your luggage around. They do all kind of things with it. And so what's precious to you, close to you, you keep and you kind of conceal it because you don't really want anybody to take it away from you. And so what happened after, you know, seeing this in the Zion train, in the light, the conductor came by and said, do this. But later on when it was dark, what is happening in the spirit, he's coming by with his light. And he's taking his light and he's putting it right on the parcel. And he says, I told you to get rid of that. And it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us so that we can understand this. When we see the stump, anybody would look at it and say that all the roots were severed. There it is. It should come out of there. But unbeknownst to the eye, underneath is this maze of little roots that are concealed. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. And so what's happening, it's wonderful to be on the Zion train. But now, when we think things are covered, here comes the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit puts this light right on the parcel. We can't hide it anymore. And the conductor said, I told you to get rid of it. And usually they take it. And the Lord was speaking to me about this. Every weight, small or large, doesn't make any difference what the value is to us. The train conductor comes along with his light. He shows it. And what is to us something that's precious, he puts the light right on it. And you know, it happens when we don't want it to happen. God's timing is different than ours, much different than ours. And we need to pay attention that in the spirit, if God's timing now is to put his light on what has been concealed for years, we have to understand. And what it is revealing to us that needs to be removed, we need to pay attention. Because inside of us is that little conscience that always echoes off the Word of God. And when the Word of God echoes in our conscience and the Word of God says, this is what I want out, we don't need to have someone come right in front of us and say, the Lord is saying, remove that. See, we know what is precious to us. And we know what little weights that have been easily besetting us. We know how they come on and they're concealed. But I want to bring this other little point about concealment. Those fellows tried everything that they could to get that stump out. But after they got it out, they couldn't move it. It was huge. So it set right there. Right where it came out, it set. And they tried to move it and couldn't. So finally, you know, they said to me, well, Pastor, how come with the work that's going on behind the church or those great big vehicles, why can't they come over and move that? Well, they would for a price. They said, yeah, we'll come over and do it. We'll move that stump. Cost you $150 just to move the stump. So, you know, that went on a couple of days. So finally, I'm old enough to be called a father. You know, I'm a grandfather and I have spiritual children and a spiritual grandson that's attending school. And, you know, it takes a father's heart sometime to have intervention because I said, well, they put it there. It's up to them to get it out of there. And these things come through your mind sometime. And then the Lord softens you down. He says, you know, I've done a few things for you and you need to take care of your children. And so I went over to this big supervisor and I said, you know, I'd like to have you move that for me. He says, I told you before it's going to cost money. I said, listen, you moved a shed for me and you damaged that shed and we had to fix it. And some of our men had to get down underneath there in the rain and the slop and fix that. Now I would like to have you go over there and get that stump and I would like to have you take that stump out of there with that big payloader. He said, I'll see what I could do. I said, thank you very much. And so at about 4 hours later, the stump was gone. They went in there with that big payloader. 5 minutes, up went this huge stump and they put it back out. You know, and our assistant pastor looked at it. He says, the stump's gone. Didn't have to play with it. It's because little father softened up a little bit and said, I need to help him. You know, how we learn that is our father, Heavenly Father, wants to help us. And putting the light on the situation is his help. And what he's asking us to do is to respond to him. You know, because in our own ability, and the Lord spoke this to me, in our own ability, we have things that have been concealed in our spirit. Little by little by little, they have been there growing for years. Years. And we would like to have them out. And we have been prayed for. We have gone before the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, you know." And we have had turmoil in our spirit because of the concealment. And anybody would look at us and say, "Well, you know, they don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't swear, they don't do this, they don't do all those things. And the elementary principles, they're, you know, they have those." But the Lord says, "I know what I need to put my light on in darkness, what you don't see with the eye." And this is what's happening on the train. The conductor, the Holy Spirit, led by the Heavenly Father's love, is putting his hand on things that we have not been able to remove. We've tried everything. We've tried everything. We have exhausted. And it's come to the point where it hasn't worked. And so what we need is divine intervention of the Holy Spirit to come and be able to put his light on. And I am so thankful that in the spirit, on the train in Zion, the conductor is going through and said, "I told you to get rid of that." And the Spirit of God will get rid of it, just like we needed a bigger strength, a bigger piece of equipment to remove the stump. And I leave that with you about concealment. God doesn't speak about concealment if there isn't anything there, folks. And when we have tried to remove these things in our own, and now in the timing of the Father in heaven to come upon each and every one of us and shine the light on us and say, "I am showing you what's there, and I am the one that can remove it." And it's the Father's love to do that. Now I want to look at the next little word is called attraction. So if you would turn with me over to Job 14, you know, with those who have heard much about Job, and I'm just going to take one little thing here about the tree. Attraction. Job chapter 14, I want to read a couple of verses, 7-9. This is about a tree. I use this analogy about a tree that had been cut down. It had been down for years. And then it was time to have the stump removed because there was something new going to take its place. Attraction. I'm reading verse 7, 8, and 9. "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." You know, tree falling brings a lot of attention. We have some little work going on in the church at this time, and in the front of the church there's a little horseshoe driveway, and there's 6 trees that we want down, and they're very, very high, they're pine, and so this people, construction, who want to do this were informing me Monday that in order just to top these trees off, just to top them off, is $650 a tree. You know, sometimes I don't hear well, so I have to ask again. I said, "Would you tell me what you said?" They said, "In order to top these trees, we are getting $650. $650 times 6, you know, 36. Oh, boy. I said, "Well, I think I'll talk to the men in the church, and I think we're going to cut these trees down." How's that, Brother Ken? So, you know, we talk about this. I'm saying, if that's the kind of money, we've got to do something. But there's a big attraction going on around Concord right now about trees. They have it going for them. Before, a fellow would climb up and top it by himself, cut it off, back and forth. I said, "Do you have a cherry picker?" "A cherry picker, you know, is one of those things that goes way up in the air and you hold on and cut it." He says, "No, we don't." I said, "Why don't you rent one?" He said, "Well, that's money." I said, "What do you think you're costing me?" We're talking this back and forth. But the big attraction is people see trees go down. And then they told me that, you know, that they were afraid it was going to do this and that. And I said, "Yes, I am too." But, you know, the issue is on trees, it kind of brings attention. When we're cutting wood, a lot of people like to cut trees. They just get, you know, I'd like to see it go down. Bam. You know, they take the chainsaw, cut it, bam, down it goes. And there's a lot of attraction. But you know, with trees, there are stumps. And if you're going to plant any grass or you're going to do anything else, you have to remove the stumps. Well, when you remove stumps, it reveals things. And so I want to go back to these things about these little roots. Job says, through the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground. Yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. I want to look at this word attraction or growth. What are these little roots attracted to? They're attracted to water. Now with water, water can have two phases. It can be pure or it can be impure. And roots will grow in either one. So when we're looking at attraction, roots, a tree can go through a tremendous dealing of God, and literally be cut down. And God will take something entirely with us, cut us right down to nothing but a stump. And maybe 4 or 5 years later, the time comes in our life. Here comes the conductor. Here comes the Holy Spirit. Here comes the light. Boom. But Lord, nobody knows about that except me and you. The issue is, when the tree was cut down and God dealt with us severely, then there was an attraction towards water. We can either make up our mind that we are going to go after the pure channel of life, or there's still that attraction in us that these roots have a tendency to want to go after impure water. And so roots can grow in either clean water or in pure water. But what we know at Zion is that we are to have pure doctrine, pure spirits, excellent spirits, body, soul, and spirit. And so the attraction to impure, sometimes nobody knows about it. No one knows that we struggle with these attractions. No one knows that inside of our own being, there is this little roots, even though God has dealt with us, even though we might well be on our way. Inside is this turmoil that is attracted towards impure water, and things are growing. And the Lord says, you know, what happens with that is that this immovable stump, with all the ability of man to try to move it, was stopping the flow of growth, because in this stump was these spirits. And the Lord said, I want that all off the land. God owns us. God owns us. We're bought with a price. And when we have these situations, it could well be the pastor doesn't know about it. It could well be the elders don't know about it. It could well be Pastor Bailey doesn't know about the pastors. But God knows about it. God knows about it. And I want to turn to Romans. We need to know what attracts us. We need to know. In Romans chapter 7, just read verses 18 through 25. Seventh chapter of Romans, 18 through 25. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to dwell is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know, we struggle with that warring that goes on inside. But the choices that we make determine whether that which is growing is being fed by impure water or that which is growing is fed by pure water. And God wants us to understand that we have a tremendous gratitude to serve Him because He is the deliverer. There is not a father, and I'm talking about this in the realm of the spirit, there is not a father who does not want his sons and daughters to have a pure spirit. And that is true in heaven. Our heavenly Father is determined to put everything at our disposal to see to it that we come with a pure, clear spirit, because that is what will let the flow of the spirit come through. And many times we don't flow in the spirit because in this stump, there is this concealment, and we have struggled with it, and we have tried to get rid of it, and we have prayed, and we have fasted, and we have done a lot of things. But it's there. It's immovable. You know what immovable means in the spirit? It means that when the Spirit of God comes to flow, there is this barrier, boundary line. It comes up to it. It stops. And we all want to flow in the spirit. We all want the river of God to flow through us. But God says He's not interested in mixture. And we need to understand that it's wonderful to be called Zion, and it's wonderful to be knowing that there's a train, Zion, and we are attracted to that. I am totally attracted to that. I love the fact that God has birthed in us Zion. I mean, that is an attraction that grasps my spirit. I am totally dedicated to what God has given me, something to be birthed into, committed. It's an attraction. But God says, I'm also telling you that there's things that are concealed that I'm putting my light on that you have struggled with that I'm going to remove. And He's in the process of that, isn't He? All right? We say, oh, Lord. But you know, sometimes we get this attitude. Just like that stump stayed out there for quite a few days. You know why? Because it was, oh, well, I've done all I can. I can't move it anymore. And we heard it yesterday, and we come up with excuses. And I want you to turn to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. We want to look at something just for a minute with attraction. Solomon, chapter 5, verses 2-6. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh and saith, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hold of the door. My bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Now, I want to look at the attraction of the voice of God. The voice of the Lord is a tremendous attraction. The voice of the Lord can happen to us at home. It can happen to us at work. You know, it can happen to us on the job. It can happen to us at church. It can happen to us at convention. And we hear the voice of the Lord, and we are attracted to it, tremendously attracted. I love the voice of the Lord. The only time I do not love the voice of the Lord is when I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. And then it's, Lord, I really would like to have you come at a better time when I'm on the mountaintop, not when I'm whining and complaining. You know, just, you know, Lord, I have the right to do this. You know, that tree stump stayed out there for days because we just couldn't get anybody to move it. And it was, well, you know, funny things go in your mind. Some of my sheep are going to laugh at this one. But, you know, I said, well, I guess it's all right because it's off his property and on the church's property. So it's on the side of the fence that belongs to the church. And on his side of the fence, it's all nice and good. So whether it stays there forever, even during the millennial, big deal. And the Lord said, you know, your suspect mind is going to ruin you one of these days. I'm sure none of you have suspect minds, all right? But, you know, sometimes we think things that we shouldn't because, you know, there's still a few little roots down there that are concealed that the Holy Spirit needs to put his light on. And we use the excuse, well, I have a right to think like that. And when the Spirit of God says, no, you don't. You do all you can to get that off the land for them. So we look at this little situation here in the Song of Solomon. And, you know, we're talking about someone that could well be. The Lord has moved in their behalf. And they have heard the voice of the Lord, and they know the voice of the Lord, and they know what it is to be attracted in the Spirit to God. And they have rejoiced over it. They might even know what it is to be used by God in the gifts, or to be used by God in just the ministry of helps, to be used by the Lord just to submit to whatever God would have and do it. But there is still this area of flow in the Spirit. We need to keep in mind that the train has a destination. It's leaving the platform of the area where there's going off and people coming on because there is a destination. The train is going into the holies of holies. The train is going into where the Lord is waiting for us. The train has a destination. It's not just for us to hear the voice of the Lord, and then we become satisfied, and we want to look at this little situation, Song of Solomon, because, you know, what happens, I sleep. You know, it comes a time when self-satisfaction settles in, and we can sleep spiritually. We can say, thank you, Lord, you have attracted me, and I have done things in your name. And Lord, I appreciate all that you have done for me. And you know, now, Lord, I can sleep. It's been a good time. And I know, Lord, that, you know, I've given my heart to you. I've given my life to you. But even though, Lord, there's areas in my life, I am quite satisfied with where I am. I don't need to go on any farther. And so we sleep. So here comes the voice of a beloved. Here comes the voice that we love. Here comes the voice that has attracted us. And it makes no difference, folks, whether we're pastors, elders, deacons, sheep. The voice of the Lord is the shepherd, father to his body. Here comes the voice of the Lord. We're sleeping. This is little excuses. You know, we're satisfied. We're okay with our present position. God help us to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to Zion, that our Heavenly Father wants to move us from our present position. He wants to move us on so there is a continuation of the spiritual growth in us that we may mature and come to the place where we want to win Him. We see many people, much to our sorrow, and it should be, who are complacent with their spiritual positions. And God only knows what is concealed. I would rather have God put his light on what is concealed and have him deliver me from it so that I can go on and progress on to where he's leading Zion. I'd rather submit to it. Here's this self-satisfaction. And you know, that's sometimes we have reasonable excuses. And God doesn't listen to our excuses, but this is what he does. He comes time and time again to me, time and time again, to check my response. And he comes time and time again. His voice attracts me. I say, oh, Lord, this is you. And so there's this communicating in the Spirit. But yet he's checking my response. Oh, I've learned something. But the Lord never unlocks the door to our feelings. We have to deal with them. We have feelings sometimes that nobody knows about except God. We have problems with people. We have problems with one another. We have problems with those in the church. Pastor has problems with the elders. The elders have problems with the pastor. Pastor has problems with the deacons. The deacons have problems with the pastor. We have problems with those working in the church. There's problems. And what happens is that, you know, in the realm of the spirit, some of those big roots have been severed, but those concealed feelings that are inside, aren't exposed. And what God is saying, and I heard this yesterday, and it bothered me tremendously in the spirit. I knew that there is yet a time to be covered in our spiritual land. And I knew that there was going to be some that are going to drop off at the last minute as they spoke about the pastors that were being hidden. They just came out too soon. They didn't listen. And I said, oh, Lord, the train has still got to go to its destination. It's possible for me or for any one of us in any position that we might have, still in our own, come out too soon. And we might have a reasonable excuse why. Because in our innermost being, our feelings, our emotions, our desires, we make that choice. And God says, that has got to be contained. We know about our feelings. How you doing today? Fine. How are you? Good. And the Lord says to you, no, they're not. And he literally shows you what's wrong. Tell him. You know, I want to tell him. Tell him. The Lord says, don't you open your big mouth. But Lord, why did you show me? Because I want you to know. But you don't go around telling everything the Lord shows you. Because if you think you do, you better get ready. Because he just might let people tell you what he sees in you at the most inopportune time. And we're not ready for that, because then our concealed feelings, we give them our 2 cents. Then we give them, you know, how we feel. And what the Lord is just speaking to us in these areas, when the Lord comes and he puts his hand on the door, but he will come time and time again and he manifests his presence like he's doing here. And he leaves a blessing. But here is what we need to understand. We are not to be attracted to the blessings, but we are to be attracted to our Heavenly Father. And the issue in going on in the Lord is there's this opportunity that we've had. We want blessings. We want blessings. And the Lord might even use us to bless other people. And we are attracted to that type of ministry, that we could be a blessing. And we want the Lord's blessing in our life. Be careful what you ask for. Because Zion's message, folks, is that we are to win the Christ. We are to go beyond the veil into the holies of holies. And the message is that we are to be attracted to winning the Christ. It's Christ who wants to go with us out into the highways and the byways. It's Christ who wants to be the one who gets the attention that he rightfully deserves. But yet inside of us, we have feelings. And sometimes you're not careful. You want to be the one that has the blessings. You want to be the one that has the ministry. You want to be the one that has this. You want to be the one that has that. I'll tell you what, folks. The blessings are never worth it. I don't care how many they are, when you stack them up alongside of the Lord. When you win the Christ, everything the Father has will be given to you. But our attraction has to be to win the Christ. And yes, Zion has a high calling, and we'll just look at that just for a minute. It certainly does. And I make no excuses about it, because some people say, oh, well, Why is Zion any different? You know, when we speak about winning the Christ, we need to understand what that means and why the Lord speaks that to us. And if you just turn to Luke chapter 7, we turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 28. We talk about the attraction of Zion. What is the attraction to Zion? The high calling of Zion. What's so important about Zion? To win the Christ. In Luke 7, 28, it's a little verse dropped in here about John the Baptist and us. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. You know, they heard this and they went on with what John was doing, but we need to understand that in the kingdom of God, we are of a tremendous importance to our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we are sons and daughters. I would do anything for my children. I will not help them go to hell. But if there is something that I could do, I've realized, even though I'm 66, they're still my daughters. Lord willing, you might see one tonight, right? I'm still dad. And when one's feeling bad, she says, Daddy, and I know what that means. She's having a hard time going back to her childhood when it was Daddy, right? And I pick it up right away. I'm a sensitive father. I love my children. And if I could do anything for them, I will do it. I'm not a sugar daddy. You give things to your children, they don't appreciate them, they trash them, they junk them. If they have to work for it and they understand for it, they're able to keep it around for a little while. And that's the same thing with the Lord. If all the Lord just did was give us, and it didn't cost us any suffering, we have no value to it. But we are his sons and daughters. And because of that, he is totally committed to seeing to it that his sons and daughters that have the call of Zion are attracted to him and attracted to the gold. And what is the gold? Is to win the Christ. And so the Father is going to do all that he can, just like I did, all that I can to remove that stump to help my son. He couldn't do anything more. And he has brought us at a place in Zion where we tremendously need our Heavenly Father. We need some of that storehouse. We need some of the personnel. We need finances. We need people in the churches. We need people in the fellowship. We need people everywhere so the job can get done. And you know, the Heavenly Father knows that. But he's just saying, there's something in your spirit that I want removed so the river of God can flow. He's speaking that to me. What? And it was very easy to be attracted to things. But we need to pay attention to what kind of water we're attracted to. It's very easy to be attracted to impure water. And you need to fight it off. You need to ask God. You need to speak in tongues. If you don't know how to speak in tongues, you need to ask the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Spirit so that you can speak in tongues. It edifies your spirit when you're going through something, folks. And not only that, the Holy Spirit enables you to stop doing something that your feelings and your emotions and your desires are already committed to. Stop. And he attracts you to the love of God and it enters into your spirit and your being. And he enables you to do something that would stop you from flowing in the spirit. Oh, I understand that we want to flow in the spirit. I understand that we're sons and daughters. Now I want to look at number 3, Minna and Maxa. And so that you don't get too far off on that, what that really means is minimize and maximize. Minimize and maximize. And the other day, I was doing something that I have been rebuked for from my sons and my daughters and my wife. I was doing something I had done many times before. And I was up a tree, and I was way up to the top of the tree, and I was picking the fruit of that tree. And so I had the extension ladder fully out, 25 feet up, I don't know. And I was about this far away from the top of the tree, and so I wanted to make sure that I didn't fall on the ladder, so I pushed the top of the ladder over so it would catch onto the top of the tree, hold me there, because the best fruit was up to the top, and I was intent on getting it. Right. So as I started up, next rung up was the next to the top. The ladder said, I think I'll change position. And so the ladder started, it was up like this. The ladder started to go like this. And I said, well, I'll catch a branch on the way down. So what happened? We got to that place where gravity doesn't pay any more attention to my mind. And I didn't have a chance to grab any branch. The ladder went, and it was aluminum, and it went, boom! And guess who fell on top of it? 20 feet up. Boom! I thought that somebody had just knocked me out. All I know is everything in me went, boom! And then I felt the blood. I said, ooh. I was hurting. Big time. And I said, I'm out here next to the road. This isn't going to look good. This old man out here on top of a ladder with blood all over the place. People driving by, going to work. I said, I got to get up. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. So I went in the house. Anybody who's been there, from the living room to the kitchen, we have a step up. I made it to the step. Oh, I was hurting. Nobody heard me. My wife was in the bathroom taking a shower. My poor wife comes out of the shower, and here's her husband of 37 years over there with blood coming down backward. I mean, I was groaning. I was hurting. She said, what happened? I mean, I have scars, right? I hit every extremity and my head and my heart. And the worst thing I did, I came down on my hand. I hurt my heart because that's what was hurting. And she says, how are you? Coming from New Hampshire, we have a tendency to minimize our injuries.
Oh, I'm all right.
Well, look at your arm. It was cut right into the bone, and it's filleted. It's flapping back and forth. I mean, all three. I said, oh, just go get one of those stretch band-aids. Put it on it. I'll be all right. Got the blood away from my eyes, and I had a scar there. I had a hole right down to the bone in my leg, and I still do because I wouldn't go and have it sutured. Minimizing. My daughter, Rana, comes in. Dad, I'm going to call the emergency room. I'm going to call 911. I said, Rana, for goodness sakes, I'm not on death row. Cut it out. But I should have maximized the fact that I hurt my heart. No, I minimized it. And the truth of the matter is, I'm going to carry these scars the rest of my life. Because if I had maximized it and gone to the hospital and they had sutured up, you should see this scar. You see the one down here, you know, and I said, well, why didn't I just get rid of that Yankee intuition? I'm all right. So I want to look at this minna and maxa because it has something to do. When I was inquired of my injuries and when I should have maximized them, I minimized them. And I want to look now at minna and maxa. want to turn over to John. John chapter 14. We are sons and daughters. John chapter 14. Verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions, or that word is levels. If it were not so, I would have told you to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I want to relate to you that in the realm of the Spirit, daughters and sons, I want to relate to you an example that has been set in front of the fellowship for years that we need to take notice to. Minimize and maximize. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And you know, and I used to think of that song, I got a mansion over the hilltop. I used to sing that and get all caught up in my emotions and feelings. You know, I didn't know what I was talking about. It was just a good song with a little thing. And I used to like that, you know. I had to get rid of that Western twang in me that liked that kind of stuff. But there's nothing wrong with that song. It's just that it doesn't really portray what God wants to speak to us. But in my Father's house, and I was sitting at a place, and the conversation came like this. Somebody had visited heaven, and when they were in heaven, they had seen Sister Bailey's house, mansion. And I was just there at the table, and I was listening. But lo and behold, what happened to me is that I was instantly portrayed into heaven, and I was looking right at her. And I want to tell you something. It was like, it was a house, but it was a house that you could see through completely. It didn't have partitions in it per se, but she was walking through it. And it could have been clear glass. It could have been clear transparency. I really don't know that. But around it was all these beautiful flowers. But what was catching my attention was that it could be seen, and she was just kind of flitting through it, walking just from one room to the other. And it had my attention because it was just something that, you know, I just, oh Lord, it was beautiful. It was a tremendous place to be in, to spend eternity in that dwelling in heaven. It was hers. And it was multi-space. It was multi-space. And she could just walk around it, be seen. You know, in heaven, everything's open. I think everything's open in heaven. You know, there's no concealment in heaven. All right? So when we want to get away from it all and go into your private room, you better take care of that now. But I think because in heaven, you know, things are a little different. But there was Sister Bailey. I want to look at this word minimizing and maximizing, because I am quite sure that she laid an example for us, that she minimized many things that we maximize, because her goal, her intent, she knew and had a desire that there was something prepared for her in heaven. Now, I want to look at some of the things about minimize and maximize just for a few moments, all right? Our clothes, our cars, our homes, our landscaping around our homes, our computers. Many times, folks, we maximize the importance of them. And we give them far more attention when we should be minimizing them. Because what is determined by the scars that I had in the physical, because I minimized something I should have maximized, I had those scars throughout the rest of my life. Now, when we maximize something spiritually, we will have the results of that throughout eternity. So the difference is, what are we building in heaven? Are we building a mansion or are we building a shed? They have beautiful sheds. You can go down Home Depot and other places. They have beautiful sheds. But if you want to live in a shed in heaven, then you continue to maximize what you should be minimizing. And so when the Lord puts his light on something in our life, we can minimize it and say, so what, Lord? It's been there quite a while. That's a good way to build your shed in heaven. Well, how do we know what we minimize and how do we know what should be maximized? You know, if ever we have been listening to the Lord, we would know that when we are struggling with something and we need grace, just like in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6, not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, you know, in the next verse, who art thou, O great mountains? We heard this last night. Bringing forth the headstone, therefore with shouting, he's crying, grace, grace, grace. And I know that Zion is having to follow the example of a mother of Israel who literally is in her abode throughout eternity in a tremendous mansion because she knew what it was to have the headstone, grace, grace, grace. You know, we teach on the tabernacle of Moses, we teach on the gates, we teach on the pillars, we teach on the chapiters that are on top of them. And it speaks of the grace that adores our Lord. But that is the very same ingredients that he wants out of his sons and his daughters. And there has been an example set before us. And we have all seen her suffer. We have all seen the grace. We have all heard the testimony from her loving husband. We have all seen the grace upon his life to minister. But yet she didn't maximize the position that she was in. She minimized it. Always pressing through, wanting to know grace, 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 grace. Now, here I am. Lord, your voice attracts me. Lord, you're saying on the train to Zion, you're saying that the light is shining and we want to do what you want us to do. And I want you to turn over to Psalms, if you would, 124, Psalms 124. And I believe this is something that Sister Bailey could say to us in the spirit. And I hope this will mean something to you as it means to me. Let's not get caught maximizing our circumstances and saying, Jesus doesn't care anymore. Look, here I am. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been pleading. He just doesn't care anymore. Here I am. Just leave the stump where it is. I want you to know your Heavenly Father cares. Heavenly Father's intent in getting Zion to the Holies of Holies. Heavenly Father is intent to see to it that his son gets the fullness of his inheritance out of Zion fellowship, out of Zion churches, out of Zion men and women, and Zion sons and daughters. He is intent. The issue is, are we maximizing that or are we minimizing that? And in Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I am sure that she made this very well known to us. Her help came from the Lord. Her help was grace, grace, grace. And because she maximized in grace, that is why she has the mansion that she has. And we need to understand something. We need to say, oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all that you have done. But I believe the Lord is speaking something to us, and I just want to close on this little thought that if we're not careful, what we maximize will determine what we have built and what we will live in throughout eternity. That's a sobering thought, but it's true. And I felt, Lord, why did that happen to me? And certainly, why was I so foolish to minimize when others could see that, Dad, honey, you're hurt, babes. You need to go and get some help. I'm still trying to close up one of the holes in my leg. Still hasn't healed. All because of my foolishness. And I will carry that. But if we could just portray that over into the realm of the Spirit. And when the Lord puts something of the light of His Spirit upon us, and the Lord says, I'm maximizing what I'm showing you, that has to go. Because He has something in store for us so that the flow of the river of God can come through and we can be part of what we're going to just look at. If you just want to look in Amos, if you would, please turn to Amos. Then, you know, it's a tremendous portion of scripture. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Dr. Bailey opens this up in the prophets. And I just want to read a verse and close. What are we going to dwell in? Are we concerned about a mansion? Or are we going to be satisfied, oh, well, if I make heaven and I live in this beautiful shed, that's all right with me. Well, that's not really what God's speaking about in Zion. And as we look in closing in Amos chapter 9, and looking at it, I say, oh, Lord, help us. For lo, no, I want verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Now we're talking about, yes, the millennial, but we're also talking about the church age. We're talking about what God is speaking to us about revival, that it will be so tremendous that even the reapers that will have, they'll have a hard time keeping up with what is going on. There will not be enough reapers for the harvest. A lack of reapers. And God is speaking to me and speaking to us why He's putting the light inside of that which is concealed so we could be a reaper. He wants us to be able to flow in the Spirit. So the greatest revival that Zion or the world will ever know, we will be part of. We can be complacent and say, well, that's all right for you people who believe that. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've done all I can do. And I thank the Lord for His voice. And I thank the Lord for leaving a little blessing on the doorknob, His presence. And I thank you for that. But I haven't really desired to win Him. Well, we need to understand, when God speaks about a great revival, it means that its influence will be worldwide. Yes, we're just people now. People say, oh, well, you little people, you just have this and you have that. You know, the Lord started out with 12 disciples. That wasn't a very large Bible school. And so, you know, we understand, but they reached out throughout the world. And we need to not minimize, you know, in a situation what God is saying to us. We need to maximize the revival. We need to maximize what God is saying about Zion. We need to maximize the revival that's going to go out to every nation. And we need to say, oh, Lord, help me to stop maximizing my circumstances and minimizing what God is saying to us. We need to get our ears open so that we start maximizing the tremendous revival, the move of the Spirit of God, that we can flow in. But there's those unmovable things that sometimes are in our spirit that stop us. But you know, let's learn our lesson. Grace, 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 grace. God wants us to train church leaders. We know that. Ready, ready, ready to go. You know, not going by their feelings, not going by their desires, not going by their emotions, but going by the flow of the Spirit of God and asking God for grace to be able to do it. We come to that place where we can't do it on our own anymore, folks. God has brought Zion to its literally place where, Lord, we are meek and lowly in heart. We're not trying to build a name for ourselves. We're not trying to say we have any ministry. We're not saying anything. And when the Lord himself was contradicted day in and day out in his ministry by the mockers, we can stand a little reproach, folks. It goes along with the call. And we don't need to maximize it. We need to minimize it. Because what's going to happen in revival, all that reproach, and it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need men, women, workers, reapers. We need to train who will be ready. And you know, the Lord is speaking to us. Now is the time. Now is the time for preparation to be maximized, not minimized. And we have a tendency to maximize everything that's going around us. We do. And it stops what God is trying to do to maximize what he's holding out to us as a loving heavenly father. So I learned something about my little injuries. In the realm of the spirit, I can't afford to make the same mistakes. That in the realm of the spirit, I need to have my eyes open to see what my heavenly father maximizes. And the example that has been set before us. And I thank the Lord for the privilege of seeing someone who's gone before us, a mother of Israel, just for a fleeting second or two to see something in heaven to encourage me not to settle for a shed when we can't be preparing a mansion. Zion's call, obviously, is a mansion. Whether we do that or whether we don't, God says, well, don't start leaning on others. Let us not do what some of the kings of Israel have done before us, and they maximized the strength of other kings and other nations, and they went to them for help. Our help is coming from the Lord. And we need to maximize that that's where our help comes from and resist any other help. There'll be those who are going to want to come in and help us at this point. But we've got to make sure whatever comes, comes from the Lord. And ask God for grace. Sometimes when it looks, that's the thing to do. Ask him for grace. Say, no, no, no. God wants to build trained leaders, workers, sons and daughters. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.